Good morning, one and all. It is my joy to share with you the Word of God from the book of Hebrews. As you know, I've been studying the book of Hebrews for quite some time, and I'm quite familiar, and I like this book very much. And I've been speaking on the topics of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. And today is about Isaac, the faith of Isaac. And you have read the verse just now. Now, in studying of the faith of Abraham, the writer devoted two paragraphs on his journey and faith in the Lord. But when it comes to Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, he makes no reference to their pilgrimage, nothing at all. He includes them as heroes of faith by mentioning their names and giving an account of the power of faith in their lives. To Isaac, he says, we have read just now, Hebrews 11 verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. Now the question is, when did Isaac do this? Where do we find faith in this story? Answer: when he was old, he had almost completely lost his sight. He was also weak in his health. At this time, he said these words. He blessed Jacob and Esau. Then when we come to Jacob in verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. And then to Joseph in verse 22, he says this, by faith Joseph, when he died, make mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. It is interesting to note that these three illustrations are drawn from that period of life when a man is approaching the end of his earthly pilgrimage. At that time, Isaac, Jacob and Joseph demonstrated his faith. And today we are going to concern about the faith of Isaac. I must say, this is not an easy topic to preach because there was so little talking about his faith and we had to preach about 20 to half an hour. Not easy. But however, we had to study the whole life of Isaac and find out where the faith come from. You want to study about faith, not the story of Isaac. Okay. Now it is interesting to note that the referring to the story, no credit was given to Isaac. Nevertheless, in its entirety, it is the supreme revelation of his faith in the pronouncement of his blessings upon Jacob and Esau. Now, look, in looking at this story, we will consider 3 points. Number one, the man himself, about Isaac. And then the account of his deterioration. And thirdly, finally, the triumph of his faith. That is, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Now, first, let me touch on the man. There is not much to say about Isaac. He is certainly not an impressive character at all. You should study the Bible. As to temperament, he was passive rather than active. There is nothing in the story of his life that speaks of initiation or the adventure or the nature of actions. Everything was quite passive. all the early triumph he had were a passive nature. Number one, we look at it concerning the sacrifice at Mount Moriah. And that was the greatest triumph of his faith when he was on Mount Moriah with Abraham to be offered as a sacrifice. We know there must have been consent on his part in this regard. And we must know that Isaac was a young man at this time. Some people think that he's 10 years old, but there are many scholars think that he's about 30 over years old. Let's take it as 30 over years old. A young man can make decision, can fight, can do all kinds of things, you know. And now was going to be offered as a sacrifice. And on the way, he asked Abraham, "My father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is a lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham replied, "My son, God will provide him a lamb for the burnt offering." Now, in this account, we see that it was not an initiative action. It was a passive faith of Isaac. He believed the words of Abraham that God will provide a lamb. That was his faith in Abraham concerning God's words. He willingly yielded himself to his father's plan by faith. It was not an initiative action. It was a passive faith, right? It was a passive faith. He believed what his father had said. Secondly, in his life, we consider his marriage. Concerning his marriage, he had no choice in the matter of marriage in accordance to the culture of that day. And even in certain part today, the parents made the decision concerning marriage. Of course, not here, but in other countries maybe. He merely agreed with the principle that he should not marry any Canaanite woman. That was his agreement. And by faith, in agreement with the principle not to marry any woman in Canaan, Isaac waited for his father to arrange a bride for him. So he put everything to the father's hand. And we know it is a beautiful story of how he went to the field and finally find Rebecca arriving to meet him. He accepted her to be his life partner. It was faith in a certain sense, but not adventurous faith. It was not adventurous faith. Just wait there and the bride came. Thirdly, in his life, what do you discover? He's very popular in digging wells. In digging wells. The supreme fact about Isaac that impressed us is that he dug wells and kept on digging them. He's quite persistent. His quiet persistence in that action was part of his faith. When enemy came and took possessions of the well, what did Isaac do? You know what he do? He willingly gave them the well and he dug another well. And he did it a few times. That was his nature. If that had happened to Abraham, what will happen? Abraham will protest with righteous indignation. Abraham will protest. If it happened to Jacob, what will happen? Well, Jacob would have outwitted them and gained more wealth than what the enemies would have taken from him. So that's Jacob, the nature of Jacob, you see. But Isaac was not like them. He just kept on digging wells. Isaac was a quiet and passive nature in man, nature man, rather than active. And so the Hebrew writers did not refer to any of these above mentioned matter that I mentioned here, concerning sacrifice, concerning the marriage and taking of the writer of Hebrew never talk about that. Just only one point. He talked about other things concerning his faith. Now, we see the second part of Isaac's life, his deterioration. We know that in family, there are certain kind of favoritism being found. All right? And in this case, Isaac loved who? Loved Esau. Why? Very simple. Because he fed him. You see, the stomach is so important. And Esau knows, always cook nice things for the father to eat, and the father appreciated and loved him much. That is a blunt way of putting it. But it is clearly recorded in Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 to 4. Isaac loved to eat venison that Esau prepared for him. He loved very much. When he was old and was about to die, he asked Esau to prepare a meal of venison for him to eat before he pronounced the blessing on him. See, that was a dish that he liked it so much. His weakness was not the eating of venison. That was not his weakness. It was the pronouncement of the blessing. He made a deliberate attempt to change the purpose of God, which was clearly revealed to him during the pregnancy of Rebekah. We know that when Rebekah was pregnant, the twin baby inside her womb was struggling, fighting with one another. And this was, Rebekah was perplexed. Why did such thing happen in my womb? And she went to inquire the Lord. Genesis 25, verse 22. She went to inquire of the Lord. And verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations in thy womb, and the two manner of people shall be separate from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. God told Rebekah all these things. And we know the answer to Rebekah's prayer is very striking. First of all, God told Rebekah that he was to have two boys. Then the two boys would represent two nations, and that they would be in constant conflict with one another. And last of all, the elder was to serve the younger. Isaac know all these things. Because God told Rebekah must have shared with Isaac. It's sure to be. You see, these kind of things. And he deliberately deflect the blessing from the one God has appointed. His intention was to give the blessing to Esau instead of Jacob. And it was a violation of the principle. He deliberately changed the will of God. That was the weakness of Jacob, or of Isaac. Then we come to the last part of his life, the triumph of faith. How then was the triumph of faith manifested in Isaac's life? Well, Isaac believed in the blessing he uttered to his children was the words of the Lord, and it will come true. It will come true. Let us read this few verses together in Genesis chapter 27, verses 26 to 29. All right, 26 to 29, Genesis 27, ready, go. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. And the fatness and the plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee, and the nation bow to thee. Be the Lord of thy brethren, and thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curse thee, and blessed be he that bless thee. Now in these few verses, every word is descriptive, and every sentence in that blessing proves the recognitions of God. In other words, God is the source of these blessings. This is faith in God. In fact, when he uttered the words of blessing which fell on Jacob, he thought that he was speaking to his beloved son Esau. This revealed the weakness of his flesh and his failure, not the triumph of his faith, not the triumph of his faith at all. In fact, when he uttered the words of blessing which fell on Jacob, he thought it was Esau. In other words, this revealed the weakness of his flesh and his failure, not the triumph, sorry. What then was the triumph of faith? The triumph of faith was his faith in God, that he would keep all his promises to his father Abraham. Therefore, he blessed his seed, though he was trying to change the recipient and the purpose of God. We know that he failed in this attempt. So this is not actually concerning his faith. His faith shined out brighter when he discovered how he had been tricked. This is the main point. Let's read again. In verse 30 to 33 of Genesis 27, ready together, go. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing Jacob, and Jacob yet had gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in and hunting. And he also made savory meat and brought in unto his father, and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of the son's venison, that my soul may be blessed me. Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, the firstborn. Isaac trembled very excited, All right. Here it tells us that when Esau came to him with the venison and wanted Isaac to bless him, you know what happened? His request was rejected. Isaac refused to change what he had done. Esau pleaded with tears and hoped that his father would change his mind to bless him. You know, tears sometimes can be very strong, especially when the person loves you and you cry and cry and plead it. Sometimes you melt the person's heart. And many ladies know how to do that. Eh? And children are very clever. Very, very clever. I saw many of them in the bus, crying, yelling, and the mother had to give way. You see. So tears is very powerful. And here, Esau cried with tears, pleaded with the father. And what happened? Isaac stood firm and would not withdraw that blessing from Jacob. Isaac had learned his lesson well. He repented and submitted to the will of God. And here we see the attitude of Isaac, accepting God's final say in this matter. Isaac humbly submitted to the will and let Jacob have the blessings. And so because of this, the writer of Hebrews included him in the list of the heroes of faith. We may say that Isaac was weak in many ways. Yes, he was weak in many, many ways. But in this instant, his faith triumphed. And so God accepted Isaac and to be his God. So how do we know? When God appeared to Moses, he addressed himself as what? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of what? Jacob. This statement of God was reaffirmed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 and 22, chapter 22 and 32, the same thing, that he is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Now, the God of Abraham, we understand, we know, we can fully understand because Abraham was a man of great faith, you see. But of Isaac, we might not have thought of, but God did. God included him in this great statement. How about Jacob? Oh, we think even less of him than Isaac. But God has his name in the great statement to the nation. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, in fact, he is the God of every man who have faith in him, who trusts in him. He is also your God. He is also your God. And the question for this morning is this, for our application this, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob your God? Is he your God? If he is your God, then submit to his will. Submit to his guidance. Let him guide you in your earthly pilgrimage. Walk according to his way. If you claim that this is your God, as Isaac finally did. So my friend, let us examine this statement carefully. Is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob your God? If it is yes, let us be like Isaac, submit ourselves to him. And so in closing, we will sing this hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, 495.